Welcome to the Locked On Titans podcast. I am your host, Tyler Rowland. Titans fans, it is a football Friday with an AFC Conference Championship matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs lying ahead. We have finally made it to the weekend. I am so ready for this football game. I could not wait all week. Glad that we were able to go through everything together on Tuesday. We talked about the statistics and did a deep dive into the Chiefs on offense and defense. On Wednesday, we added context with our crossover conversation with Chris Clark from the Locked On Chiefs. On Thursday, we did our film breakdown and talk about how the Titans are going to utilize man coverage and zone coverage to confuse Patrick Mahomes and hope to have some success against this dynamic offense. And then today I'm going to put a bow on everything and give you guys my keys to the game plan on offense and defense in our first segment. In our second segment, we are going to talk individual matchups here. There's so much going on in this game that I'm going to break things up. Instead of talking all of that in the first segment, we're going to give you a first segment just on the game plan. And then in our second segment, we are going to do just individual matchups. We will round out our show with a conversation, as we always do, about the fantasy and gambling aspects of the game with my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy preview and keeping it plus 100. So we will get into everything. So excited to go over all the details with you guys. Let's get it. Let's talk defensive keys to the game. The number one key to beating the Kansas City Chiefs is getting pressure on Pat Mahomes. Now, it's not just about getting pressure on Pat Mahomes, though. How many people are you dedicating to getting pressure on Pat Mahomes? That's really where we want to focus here. The Titans have to find a way to get pressure on Mahomes using only four or five at the max rushers. If they commit too many more than that, you're going to get yourself in a position where the speed that the Chiefs have on offense will get open quickly, and with not enough guys in coverage, they could take advantage of that very, very easily. So the Titans need to find a way to get pressure on Mahomes, not let him sit back there and pick apart this defense, whether they be in man or zone. They were only able to get two sacks on Mahomes in the first matchup, but he was coming off of a knee injury, and they were able to get some decent pressure on him to make him move, flood the pocket. We saw that in an example yesterday in the Tic Tac Titans film breakdown. We saw how that pressure can get him off his spot and make him make an inaccurate throw. So it was easier to do then. The Titans are going to need to do an even better job now. They did get four sacks against a very mobile quarterback in Lamar Jackson last week, so they need to make sure that they keep their rush lanes and stay disciplined in their pass rush to not let Mahomes get out, but make sure that they get to him and not let him beat them consistently throughout the day. Switch coverages on Mahomes as well, and that'll help get that pressure. Don't just go man all the time. Don't just go zone all the time. You have to switch these coverages up. Now, when you're in zone, you got to be disciplined. Make sure you're not fooled by the eyes of Patrick Mahomes. And when you're in man, at some point in time, the Titans players are just going to have to win one-on-one with a talented core of Chiefs players. Also, when you're playing against that kind of talent and that kind of speed on offense, you have to keep them in front of you. What the Titans can't do is get beat behind them, have deep lanes for Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball, or miss tackles, which allow these speedy threats that the Chiefs have to get loose and turn a small completion into a big one. So the Titans have to find a way to keep everyone in front of them and make the Chiefs earn every yard as they go down the field. Do not allow them to get big plays, big chunks of yards to make it that much easier to score. Make them work for everything. They are going to be successful in between the 20s. They are going to get yards. That's what the Chiefs offense is going to do. You're not going to stifle them completely. And that's what the Titans let the Ravens do as well. But when it gets into the red area, when it gets into third and longs, that's when the Titans defense has to find a way to win. But you're going to give up yards, so make sure you keep that speed in front of you. And lastly, for the Titans defense, they need to make sure that they don't let the Chiefs get going in the run game. The Chiefs are not a great rushing team. Here in the playoffs, they've almost abandoned the running game for the most part and really relied on the pass game. So the Titans can't let them get that going. They have to find a way to shut down the run, get the Chiefs in third and long, second and long situations, so they have a chance on defense to slow this offense down. Let's transition to the offense here, and although it does seem like conventional wisdom would tell you the Titans are winning with the run game, and certainly Derrick Henry's great run in the past 2 weeks in the playoffs specifically has been phenomenal and has been mostly the foundation of what the Titans want to do on offense, early on in these games, they are actually throwing the ball to kind of open things up, and we're going to need to see that from Ryan Tannehill this week as well. The Chiefs obviously know what the Titans want to do. They're going to be keying on the run game heavy. They're going to be stacking the box, which isn't really something that stopped Derrick Henry so far, but the Titans have to find a way to take advantage of that defensive alignment with short screens to the wide receivers and mix in some deep shots as well. The Titans are going to have to score points against this Chiefs team like they did in the first matchup, but they're not going to be able to do it in the same way where it seems like a shootout. The Chiefs were a little banged up on offense. The Titans made a big play on defense and scored a touchdown, so a lot of those things changed the complexity of that game, and I would not use that as the exact model to try to replicate to win this game. So with that in mind, the Titans are going to have to mix in some short screens, they're going to have to mix in some deep shots, and make this Kansas City Chiefs secondary tackle their strong and physical wide receivers and tight ends. Also, it'll be critical for the Titans to get a lead early. They fell down 10-0 in the previous matchup against the Chiefs, and I think with the Chiefs being at home and being rolling right now on offense, that would be a death kiss. So the Titans cannot allow themselves to get in a hole early. They need to find a way to get the lead early so that they can transition into that run game with the outside zone run, inside zone run, heavy personnel. Once they get a lead and establish a lead, now they can start to salt the clock away. The Chiefs actually won the time possession battle in the first matchup. The Titans cannot allow that to happen again. And lastly, the Titans need to use motion to identify what coverage it is, whether it's man coverage or zone coverage. And when they get man coverage, they need to attack these Chiefs defensive backs, especially someone like Darren Sorensen in the backfield, who is in for Chiefs injured safety Juan Thornhill. The Titans need to attack these pieces on the outside that they should have an advantage over in the passing game. I am going to be giving you guys my game prediction and score prediction after we talk about individual matchups in our second segment, but before we move on to that, I just want to give you the most updated information possible on the injury report and also with the weather in Kansas City on Sunday. So let's start by talking updates on injuries. Logan Ryan, who missed practice with an illness, came back and was upgraded to a full participant. As I said on Thursday's show, wasn't really concerned with that, but good to see him upgraded and fully out there at practice on Thursday. Jayon Brown and Adam Humphries were still both at practice, but both were still limited, so curious to see whether or not they'll be able to make an appearance in this game on Sunday. Rashawn Evans, Adoree Jackson were also limited in practice, along with a new addition, Jack Conklin, with an ankle injury, so curious to see how that will affect him going forward against some talented edge rushers that the Chiefs had. We'll talk more about that next. David Long was upgraded to a full participant with his knee injury as well, and Cody Hollister went back down to being a limited participant after being a full participant on Wednesday's practice report. So that kind of covers things for the Titans. As I mentioned in Thursday's show, the Chiefs have a relative clean bill of health here. They aren't really struggling in terms of injuries other than, you know, the people who are on IR, which the Titans have their fair share of as well. But the two biggest key injuries to watch for the Chiefs are their talented inside rusher, Chris Jones, who had 2 sacks against the Titans in their first matchup, and Travis Kelce, all-world tight end. Now, Chris Jones still did not participate in practice, so we're going to really have to monitor him on Friday. I'll be putting out updates as I see them on my Twitter account, at TicTacTitans, so follow me there to get updated as soon as possible. Chris Jones is a force on the inside and one of the best interior rushers in the NFL. Like I said, he had 2 sacks against the Titans in the first go-around, so if he's unable to play, that would really help the Titans running the ball and keeping Tannehill upright in the passing game. Travis Kelce was limited, so he was able to be out on the practice field. That guy's going to play with a knee injury. But let's just stroll back to the last time the Titans played the Chiefs in the playoffs. And if you remember, Travis Kelce got knocked out of that game by a monster hit by Jonathan Cyprien. He was slightly concussed, couldn't play the rest of the contest, and that's when the comeback started for the Titans. Not having Kelce out there was really what doomed the Chiefs' offense in that game. Now, they do have Patrick Mahomes now, so I understand the differences between Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. But as we saw last week in the playoff game for the Chiefs against the Texans, Travis Kelce is the heartbeat of that offense. They give you all the fancy wide receivers and all the speed on the outside, but he is the chain mover. He is the star for them, and his connection with Pat Mahomes is the lifeblood of that offense. So I'm not saying that the Titans are to target that knee or anything like that, but football is a physical game built on intimidation, and they're going to have to find a way to hit him and hit him hard and test him and tackle him low and see how that knee holds up in a cold environment and a physical environment. So it'll be important for the Titans players over the middle, Rashawn Evans, Jayon Brown if he plays, David Long, Wesley Woodyard, Kenny Vaccaro, Kevin Byard, Logan Ryan. Those guys got to attack Travis Kelce, beat him up. Be physical with him at every point in time that they can and see how he holds up with that injured knee. That is going to do it for all of the injury updates that we have right now. Like I said, I'm going to be putting out the most updated injury report possible on Friday and Saturday so you guys know where things stand as we get closer to the game on my Twitter account at TicTacTitan, so follow me there. Real quick, and this is something I haven't talked about a lot throughout the year because it hasn't made much of an impact on these games for the Titans, but this just may. It is going to be a high of 24 degrees in Kansas City on Sunday. That is cold, ladies and gentlemen. There's a low of 6 degrees, so it could be anywhere between 6 degrees and 24. And while there isn't any precipitation in the forecast, that sort of temperature, as Mike Vrabel said in his press conference this week, it's not fun to get hit in the cold, and it hurts a little bit more, and it stings a little bit more when you hit the ground or when you take that shot in cold weather. I think that benefits the Titans. The Titans are a more physical team than the Chiefs. That's the reality. The Chiefs are built on speed. The Titans are built on physicality. So, like I was talking about with Travis Kelce, the Titans need to punish the Chiefs' offensive skill players. Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Robinson, Travis Kelce. These guys, other than Kelce, are not big, stocky, physical people like the Titans have. Hit them. Hit them every chance you can, hit them as hard as possible, and let them know that it's going to sting a little bit more every time they hit the ground. And eventually, as the game wears on, you could wear them down, you could take their spirit, and if the Titans can find a way to get a lead and then start that physical pressure, putting that on the Chiefs' offense, well, I think that only spells good things for the Titans. So now we will move on to talking about our individual matchups. I have a few key matchups for you on both sides of the ball that everyone needs to be paying attention to and that will most likely determine who gets to advance to the freaking Super Bowl, baby! Tighten up! Titans fans, let's get into some key individual matchups that will determine the outcome of the game on Sunday. I'm going to start with the Titans offense here. Derrick Henry versus Tyrann Mathieu. Mathieu is a physical safety. He can play coverage. He can come up in the box. He can act as a linebacker. He can act as a slot corner going all the way back to his days at LSU. Shout out to LSU, national champions this year. They most certainly deserved it. But Mathieu comes from a long line of great defensive backs from LSU, and he's had a phenomenal career in the NFL as well. His versatility is similar to what we see from the Titans defensive backs. He's not afraid to come up and tackle Derrick Henry. Now, one thing that he did say in a quote from Tyrann Mathieu is that trying to tackle Henry in that first matchup was like hitting a rock. So, with the cold temperatures, hopefully he has that in the back of his mind, and when Derrick Henry gets to the second level, or he gets on the outside with some of those outside zone runs, he's going to be matched up directly with Tyrann Mathieu in the alley coming down to try to stop him from getting loose. I'm not worried about the other defensive backs tackling for the Chiefs. Derrick Henry will run right through them, but Tyrann Mathieu has the talent and the physical nature to actually get the job done against Derrick Henry. So whether Henry is able to bowl him over early, make him feel it early, and change his mental processing halfway through the game and have him start to make some business decisions, That will be key for the Titans. Or will Matthew be able to come up, make the stops needed, not let Derrick Henry get loose for the 20, 30, 40-yard gains? That's going to be critical to this game. Another matchup for the Titans offense is their tackles, Jack Conklin and Taylor Lewan, who have been relatively perfect in this playoff run. They're going to be matched up against Frank Clark, who had one sack against the Titans in the first matchup and had three sacks against the Texans last week, and veteran Terrell Suggs, who he may be old, but I'm never going to doubt that Terrell Suggs can get out there on a third down and cause some havoc in the backfield. The Titans had issues with sacks throughout the year. Luckily, they've been able to clean that up for the most part here in the playoffs. They're going to need that to continue because, like I said, the Titans are going to have to take deep shots. They're going to have to run screens. They're going to have to do all these different things that really put a lot of pressure on the tackles to either get out to the perimeter and make blocks or just hold up in pass protection against some talented edge rushers for the Chiefs. So will the Titans be able to keep Ryan Tannehill clean so that he can take advantage of this Chiefs secondary? That will be key as well. The last key that I want to bring up here is the tight ends, Jonnu Smith, Mecole Pruitt, and Anthony Firkser going up against Daniel Sorensen. Firkser was able to beat Sorensen in one-on-one coverage in the first matchup against the Chiefs. I expect them to hunt Daniel Sorensen down. He is not a great pass coverage safety. He's more of a physical safety that would be in a strong safety position, but because of Tyrann Mathieu, he's being tasked with more free safety duties on defense, and I just don't have any faith that Sorensen will be able to keep up in man-to-man coverage. So they're going to have to isolate, like I talked about in my key game plan points for the offense, use motion to ID the coverage and decide whether it's man or zone. Once you're able to do that with the motion, hunt for that matchup against Sorensen, find tight ends over the middle, isolate him on tight ends on outbreaking routes, and take advantage of his lack of pass coverage skills. The Chiefs lost Juan Thornhill, their starting free safety, to a season-ending injury late in the season, and that inserted Daniel Sorensen. So they are going to have to find a way to pick on him and take advantage of that matchup consistently throughout the game. Moving to the defensive side of the ball to talk those matchups, which I think are even more critical than the offensive ones. Something that I point out in my Tic Tac Titans film review yesterday was Kevin Byard's matchup with Travis Kelce. Kelce was on fire last week against the Texans. 10 catches, 134 yards for 3 touchdowns. The Titans can absolutely not allow Travis Kelce to get going. As I mentioned in the first segment, he is the heartbeat of that offense. Everybody loves the speed on the outsides, but Kelce is the key to this Chiefs offense. We've seen that numerous times over numerous years. So, will Titans all-pro safety Kevin Byard be able to contain him? In the first matchup with the Chiefs, they held Kelce to 7 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown, and that is a very productive day. But when you compare that to what, you know, the Texans allowed to happen with Travis Kelce, not as good of a day. So he's going to get his, folks. We're not going to completely stymie Travis Kelce. He's possibly the best tight end in the NFL, second best at least behind George Kittle. So you got to limit him a little bit, though, and make him work for it and not let things be easy like they were last week. And I do believe that Kevin Byard will be able to do that. Now, like I said, Byard is going to get beat sometimes, but they really got a key on Kelce in the red zone. He had 3 touchdowns last week. They're looking for him in the red zone. So key on him in the red zone and try to limit his ability to beat them consistently throughout the game by putting Kevin Byard on him. Now, the result of Kevin Byard being matched up one-on-one with Travis Kelce a lot of the times when the Titans go man, because the Chiefs will try to isolate Kelce on one side so he's by himself like a wide receiver, or even lined up at tight end but on one side by himself with a trips to the other side. When they do that, Kevin Byard is going to be taking Kelce one-on-one. So where does that leave Kenny Vaccaro, who's more of an in-the-box strong safety? He has versatility, of course, but you don't want Kenny Vaccaro back deep all game long acting like a free safety, acting like Earl Thomas or something like that. But that's what we're going to get in this game if they do go ahead and man-to-man Byard on Kelce. So Kenny Vaccaro versus Patrick Mahomes' eyes. One thing that I noticed while rewatching last matchup is Patrick Mahomes did a great job of faking out Kenny Vaccaro and kind of manipulating him with his eyes. There's a specific play early in the game with the Titans down 10-0, and it looks like the Chiefs have a really good chance to go up 17-0 on a deep post to Tyreek Hill. The Titans are in cover two, and Kenny Vaccaro looks at Patrick Mahomes' eyes. Mahomes is staring down Travis Kelce on the other side of the field, and it pulls Vaccaro up out of his deep half, and it leaves Tyreek Hill streaking right behind him, wide open for a touchdown. Luckily, it was an overthrow by Patrick Mahomes, but he's not going to overthrow those now. He was banged up, his knee wasn't right, and he didn't play a great game against the Titans despite the numbers. So, now that he is fully healthy and, quite frankly, rolling better than, you know, we've seen since his, you know, first season in the NFL as a full-time starter where he won the MVP, he's going to hit that pass this time. So Kenny Vaccaro has to stay disciplined when he's tasked with being that deep safety like Kevin Byard typically. That's his role. So now that they're switching that role and Kenny Vaccaro is going to be back deep, he has to stay disciplined, not get fooled by Patrick Mahomes' eyes and eye movement, and make sure that he does his job and doesn't give the Chiefs any of those deep plays that I said would get them killed if they allow it. So moving on to the next matchup here, still in the secondary, Adoree Jackson versus Tyreek Hill. In that last matchup, Tyreek Hill, you know, he had a fantastic game. There's no way around it. He had 11 catches, 157 yards, and a touchdown. But like we talked about in that Tic Tac Titans film review, Adoree Jackson still had some critical plays against Tyreek Hill in one-on-one coverage. Mainly, at the end of the game, on a crucial third down, they tried to hit Tyreek Hill deep to the right sideline in the end zone, and Adoree Jackson was there to make an incredible one-on-one play and knock the ball away. The example we used for man coverage in our Tic Tac Titans film breakdown was the same thing, Adoree Jackson making a great one-on-one individual play on the ball against Tyreek Hill. So, like I've said throughout the entire episode, the Chiefs are going to get theirs, guys. Kelce's going to get catches. Hill is going to get catches. Mahomes is going to get yards. But they have to find a way to limit them to just doing that between the 20s and shut things down in the red zone, which is what they've been able to do during the playoffs and kind of get this defense back to the level it was playing at the beginning of the year. So Tyreek Hill is going to get his, but Adoree Jackson has to do the best he can and win some of these one-on-one matchups. That's all it comes down to, is when things are on the line, Adoree Jackson is going to have to win one-on-one against Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill may be the fastest player in the NFL, but don't forget, Adoree Jackson was an Olympic-level track athlete in college. He has speed as well. So it may not be Tyreek Hill speed, but he has about as much speed as you could ask for someone going up against Tyreek Hill one-on-one, and Adoree Jackson is going to have to win that. Now, if you want to help out all of these matchups and all of these things in the secondary, then you gotta win up front. It goes back to the number one game plan key I said for the defense, getting pressure on Pat Mahomes with four rushers, five at the max, but mostly four. And the way that the Titans are going to be able to do that is have their edge rushers, which is right now Jarrell Casey. He has been playing on the edge quite a bit, really impressed with his ability to do so, and of course, Harold Landry. So Harold Landry and Jarrell Casey are going to have to find a way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs tackles, who are, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, very solid offensive linemen. The Chiefs' offensive line is healthy right now. They are intact, and they're playing very well. High pick Eric Fisher on the left side, and then Mitchell Schwartz on the right side. Now, gotta mention with Mitchell Schwartz, his brother Jeff Schwartz has been killing the Titans all throughout the playoffs, very anti-Titans on his Twitter account, so it would be so sweet to have Mitchell Schwartz get abused on the right side of the offensive line by Landry or Casey and have them make an impact on this game by, you know, destroying this offensive line that has played relatively well. So they're going to have to pick their spots, but Casey and Landry are going to have to beat Fisher and beat Schwartz if they have any opportunity whatsoever to take down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So that covers all of the individual matchups I want you guys to focus on that I think will determine the outcome of this game and who will win. Those are the key ones on offense and defense for me. So with that in mind, we are going to move into our game prediction here. This is a big one, folks, and I've been on the Titans through the playoffs, expecting them to, after I saw them take down the Patriots, I knew that this team was ready to go. I picked them against Baltimore, and not only did I pick them against Baltimore, but I picked them to beat Baltimore on December 23rd, 2019. Someone finally found the tweet that I shot out, you know, a little less than a month ago, but I said this Titans roster is ideally built to beat the Ravens, and they went out there and destroyed them. Now, they didn't shut them down from a yardage perspective, but when it comes to scoring points, which is the exact same formula I've been telling you guys about during this episode, the Titans are going to give up yards to this talented offense between the 20s, but they're going to have to win their individual matchups when it matters most. That's in the red zone, on third down, and do things to limit this Chiefs offense, and then when the Titans are on offense, take advantage of some good matchups that they have as well. So with that in mind, I think that both offenses will be able to score some points, but nowhere near what it was last time. I think that the Titans win this ball game 26-27-24. Titans. They find a way to get a turnover at some point. They find a way to take advantage of these matchups that I've been mentioning, and the Tennessee Titans will advance to the Super Bowl. Once again, 27-24 Titans. With that in mind, we are going to jump into our third segment. We got my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy preview to talk everything daily fantasy for you guys, and then keeping it plus 100 to go over all the gambling information. Can you believe it's conference championship week? Time's up for two of the teams playing this weekend, but you still have time to feed your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a free shot at $750,000 with your first deposit. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with throughout the playoffs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LOCKEDON. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. New users, be sure to enter code LOCKEDON during signup, and you'll also get a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. That's code LOCKEDON, and you can get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. My beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy preview. Let's take a look for any of you guys still playing daily fantasy football. I know I am during the playoffs. It gets really hot during the playoffs, so I'm sure a lot of you guys are out there playing it as well. Want to talk about how the Titans options stack up this week when you're trying to put a lineup together. There are only two games, so obviously you're going to have to roll with some Titans in this circumstance with, you know, limited options available to you. So let's talk about who could be a good one to build your lineup around. To do that, let's, of course, go through the points allowed per week by this Chiefs defense. The quarterback position, they are actually on the, you know, top half of the league, giving up the 19th most fantasy points to quarterbacks per week at 15.1. Not too shabby there, and nowhere near what the Titans have faced in the last 2 weeks in terms of statistically not allowing a lot of fantasy points. For the running back position, sure, you guys are going to be shocked where I go as a foundation piece for daily fantasy, but the Chiefs are allowing 19.7 fantasy points per game to running backs. That is the sixth most points allowed to running backs in the NFL. That's a pretty good matchup right there, and that's something that we talked about on Tuesday as well, taking a look at the regular season statistics from this Chiefs defense. At the wide receiver position, surprisingly, the Chiefs do a pretty good job. 14.8 points allowed per week fantasy-wise for wide receivers. That's actually the second best in the NFL at preventing points being scored. So really, really surprisingly solid against fantasy wide receivers. The tight end position, 7.2 fantasy points surrendered per game. That is the 11th most in the NFL, so a little bit of an advantage there. We are not using the Titans defense. Guys, do not use the Titans defense in this one. They may be able to get a turnover and get some points and things like that, but it's just too risky of a fantasy play. The Chiefs offense is only allowing opposing defenses to score 3.1 fantasy points per game. That is the third least in the NFL this year, so I cannot trust the Titans defense. Now, let's talk about actual players and actual options here. I like Ryan Tannehill as a cheap daily fantasy option. I think it would be smarter to stack your lineup with maybe, you know, a higher cost quarterback and then make some changes elsewhere. But if you want to keep your quarterback cost low, go with Tannehill. He is the second least expensive quarterback available out of the four starters, so not a bad option there. Clearly, based on the numbers that I read to you all, you are putting Derrick Henry in your lineup. Just make Derrick Henry the foundation of your lineup, a staple in your lineup. Everybody else is going to play him too at this point, so you can't miss out on that production. You know he's going to get the ball. You know he's going to be productive based on the way that the Chiefs' defense is, so you have to take advantage of that, not allow your competition to get you on those easy points. Put Derrick Henry in your lineup no matter the cost. At wide receiver, like I said, the Chiefs don't give up a lot of points to receivers in terms of fantasy. Last time that the Titans played, Khalif Raymond had the most yards on the team with that 152-yard catch. Other than that, the Titans really went to the tight ends. Anthony Firkser, 3 catches, 36 yards and a touchdown, and Jonnu Smith with 4 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. So they do really well against wide receivers. They did really well against the Titans wide receivers. So at this moment in time, I am not willing to pay the price that it takes to put AJ Brown in the Titans or in my fantasy lineup here this weekend. Somebody like Tajae Sharp, who's really cheap, could be helpful. He might get some looks in the red zone. He had a 20-yard catch against the Chiefs in that first matchup. So if you're looking for a really cheap option at wide receiver, I would go with Tajae Sharp, but I wouldn't be willing to put the trust needed to put AJ Brown into my lineup, considering how the Chiefs have performed against wide receivers all year and then how they performed against the Titans wide receivers earlier this season. So that kind of leads me into my next addition here into the lineup, and that's going to be Jonnu Smith. I really do think that Jonnu Smith is going to have an opportunity to play well here. I talked about the tight ends matching up against Sorensen. I can't really trust Firkser to be a fantasy option just because he doesn't have much run after the catch. He's mostly used as a red zone or a third down threat, so you never know how many opportunities he's going to get. But Jonnu Smith, I do expect to have a good game against the Chiefs, and I would throw him into my lineup as a cheap tight end option. So for daily fantasy, I would consider Ryan Tannehill. I'm definitely playing Derrick Henry, and I would consider Jonnu Smith as well. Let's move to keeping it plus 100 and talk about the gambling information for Sunday's game. Right now, the Chiefs are 7-point favorites. Vegas just continues to give the Titans gobs of points. They gave the Titans 5 points against the Patriots, gave them 10 points against the Ravens. I'm taking the 7 points as well. I don't care if the Titans are on the road in Kansas City in a hostile environment. I think there are enough things in this game that favor the Titans that they're definitely going to be able to keep it close at the minimum, if not win this game as I expect. So I love the Titans at plus 7. That's a great number for them. You could get yourself into a push situation too. So just a lot of different avenues to not lose, I guess, which is the most important thing in gambling, is not losing, not necessarily winning all the time. The over-under is 53 points. And considering the weather, I honestly think this goes under. 27 to 24 would get you to 51. That's not over 53. I don't see either team going over 30 just due to the familiarity and, like I said, the weather conditions. So I'm going to say Titans plus 7. Of course, I think they're winning anyways. And then under 53. So that is going to wrap up my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy preview and keeping it plus 100. As a matter of fact, that is going to wrap up our AFC Conference Championship game preview. It's been an excellent week. And guys, whether or not the Titans are able to advance to the Super Bowl, or if on Monday it is the beginning of the offseason, I am going to be here with you on the Locked On Titans podcast Monday through Friday, pumping out the most Titans content you can find on the interweb. So please follow me on Twitter at Tic Tac Titans and subscribe to the show now if you aren't already to make sure you're up to date with all of your Tennessee Titans news and notes. I have had such a good time this week talking about this game. Certainly hope we have another game prep, three-step game prep plan lined up for next week as well, but time will tell. And I will see you guys on the other side. Hopefully it is a victory Monday, but for now, I am your host, Tyler Rowland, and this was Locked On Titans.